His perfect way in our lives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to go into the Word of God in here in just a minute. Oh, praise the Lord. Let me just move back to the pulpit there. Oh, we're so thankful again. Oh, we have a mighty God. He's not limited. Oh, praise the Lord. He takes us just dust of this earth and, you know, with all our frailties and, oh, all the things that are negative. And, oh, wow, he makes something of us. Praise the Lord. He reformats us. Thank the Lord. He knows how to make us, oh, to make something out of that old clay that, oh, my, didn't seem like it was very much good for anything. But thank the Lord. He's so good. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to open up the Word of God here tonight and go before the Lord here as we have time here. The Lord has given us these occasions. And, you know, I always think, you know, we don't know. We're in the middle of so many things right now. We've got this election that's looming in the distance, and a very close distance now. And, you know, there's very little that we know as far as what may happen. But praise the Lord, we know that we serve a mighty God. And he's going to be with his people until the end of the world. Praise the Lord. And yes, to those that overcome, he's going to have wonderful things. Wonderful things that we have not yet imagined, even in our own minds. Praise the Lord. I know we all think sometimes, we all try to ponder what it's going to be like one of these days when we get home. But, oh my, I have a feeling it's really beyond what we can conceive in our minds right now. How we can think, in, you know, as we have this flesh and in this realm that we're currently in. But praise the Lord. I know there are wonderful things reserved for the people of God. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray right now and ask the Lord to have his way as we open up the scripture. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we want you to have your way tonight. We want you to talk to our hearts, to minister to us, oh, Lord, that we might be acceptable in thy sight, that we might overcome, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that we might be worthy, oh, God, of those prizes that you have set for your children, Lord. Oh, God, those that you consider your jewels. God, I pray that you work here tonight. I pray, oh God, that you give me the word that I need to speak forth. Oh God, that you, oh God, help me to know where to go in the scripture. And oh Lord, I pray that you talk to our hearts. I pray that you draw us close to you. I pray that you comfort those that mourn, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you heal those that are sick. I pray, oh God, that you'd help your people to fight the battles, oh Lord, that are very much a reality in their lives. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that you deliver us from all evil, Lord. Oh God, that you deliver us from, oh God, habits and vices that are wrong, Lord God, that you'd help us, equip us, help us to get to that place, oh Lord, where you shape us. Make us what we ought to be, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we give this service over to you, Lord. We give it over to you and ask that you talk and that you'd use this message. You work in every heart, Lord, that you'd meet the needs of your people. And God, I pray that we would all overcome, Lord. We'd all be found worthy, oh God, to stand before you, Lord. For, oh God, we're facing that day, Lord, when thou shalt come to judge this earth in righteousness. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that you'd talk to us. Oh, God, that you'd help us to conform, oh, God, to the image of your dear Son. Oh, God, we bring these things before you, Lord, and I ask that you would meet the needs of your people. Oh, God, and Lord, that you'd change us, make us what we ought to be in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, that the devil have no place. Oh, God, let your spirit have free course. Talk to us, Lord. Make us what we ought to be, I pray, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, God. I did spend quite a bit of the day over at Faith House today, and it's kind of neat because we could do that again. It's like we had all this street work going on for such a long time, and it was really, you know, somewhat difficult to be over here, and sometimes very noisy. Well, they were putting down sod today, and the sidewalks are laid, and we have our parking lots and everything else at this point, and just, you know, pretty soon they're probably going to put the lines in the street and do all the little finish work. But praise the Lord, God has helped us. And oh yes, God helps us through all the battles in this life if we'll just let Him. We're going to call this message here tonight, He That Overcometh. He That Overcometh. Praise the Lord. I know every day has its challenges. You know, you start a day fresh and, you know, you might have a few plans and you know, things that you believe you're going to do. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't always happen like you might perceive or think or as you have planned. You know, all these things, you know, I was mopping the floor in my dining room a bit today, and all at once I realized that one of the plants on my plant stand had toppled over, and there was dirt and leaves all over the place, and oh boy, okay, so what do you have to do? You have to clean up your mess. But oh my, you know, I went over to Faith House and it was using the water filter and realized, oh my, it was actually a little bit too full and oh my, began to spill. So, you know, we have all these little topsy-turvy things that happen and you know, sometimes it's other things, oh my, that try to get our goat, so to speak, as the saying is. But praise the Lord, you know, through the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. There's something that we all must do as we overcome. That is what we must do. We must overcome this world. We have all these things that oppose us. We have the things of this world. And then besides that, we have our own flesh that, you know, just sometimes gives us a difficult time one way or the other. And then there's the old devil. Oh, yes, in his cohorts that sometimes try to oppose us. But praise the Lord, God has given us the ability to overcome. Oh, by His Spirit and by His blood. Praise the Lord. And you know, I believe He's put it within us. And that is so what we need to do to, you know, give everything over to the Lord. Yes, so that one day we can be among those that overcome. Oh yes, that see Him face to face and hear Him say, well done. And it's not going to be because we had these abilities of ourselves. It's not going to be because of our heritage. It's not going to be because of our intelligence. It's not going to be because of our strength physically. But no, it's going to be because of the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, and what He put within us. Oh, yes, that we could overcome by the word of our testimony. And the fact that we love not our lives unto the death. Oh, yes, that we learn to put the Lord first in our lives. And oh, yes, go forward. Oh, yes. I know God did not make us as robots in this world. Even Adam and Eve, though they walked in a beautiful paradise there at the beginning of this world, they did have an obstacle. He put them in that place to tend that beautiful Garden of Eden. And I'm saying that was a paradise. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. God had put Adam at first in that paradise, and then of course He gave him Eve. But oh my, He had told them that they could eat of every tree of the garden freely, except there was one tree. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they were told that thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So there was this one thing, this that they had to, you know, withstand. This one obstacle to overcome. And we all know the story. How that day came when the serpent, who was very subtle, very clever, came and, oh yes, outwitted Eve. And he enticed her, and you know, he fooled her, and he made her think that, you know, she would not surely die if she ate of that fruit. But you know, simply God had said, you're gonna be wise. You're gonna be like gods, and you know, he made it appealing. You know, you're gonna know good and evil. And of course he enticed her, and yes, that moment came when the woman, who was Eve, saw that tree, that it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also to her husband, and he did eat too. Oh yes, that changed everything. That changed everything. But praise the Lord, there was one that came to this world. Oh yes, that did overcome. And because he overcame, we too can overcome. Oh yes, all these things that are obstacles and hindrances in this world. And you know, it can be all kinds of things. Oh, that try to bring us down to that point where, you know, we just let it happen. But oh my, we got to keep up our guard. We've got to have the Word of God embedded in our hearts, and we've got to know what the Lord would have us not to do. And praise the Lord, he sent forth the Holy Ghost so that, oh yes, his Spirit would give us that ability. Would we give it to the Lord and we let him lead us, that ability that we can overcome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to take you to Luke, the 4th chapter right now. And though this is familiar, I always believe that we're going to see maybe just a bit more than we've ever have seen before. Praise the Lord. Let's look here at Luke 4. Jesus is our pattern. And oh yes, we're going to see in these verses here how Jesus overcame the temptations of the devil. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And of course we know that this is following his baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And praise the Lord, we know that, you know, John saw the Spirit of God descend from heaven like as a dove and sit upon Jesus. Praise the Lord. So here he is after that, you know, returning from the Jordan River area. And the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness. Tells us in verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And you know how vulnerable. Because I know 40 days is a long time to fast, to be without food. And what I understand about a lengthy fast is that, you know, I know that if you can go 2-3 days, that, you know, the desire for food kind of leaves there, you know, and you can, you know, have a strength that, you know, helps you at that point. But oh my, there comes a point when you're hungry again. And what I understand from some reading I did years ago is that at the point when hunger returns, that you're actually starving. And I believe this is where Jesus was in our lesson here tonight. And yes, he had gone those 40 days without eating. And now it was at that point where he was hungry. His most vulnerable point, I would say. He tells us in verse 3 here, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And again, this just, you know, wow, how to hit, you know, at a time when, you know, you're very, very hungry. And oh my, Jesus had the power, and he could have looked at that stone and made it bright. But oh my, he knew that there was something else at stake. He was being tempted. He was being tempted of the evil one. And oh, no way did he want to give in to that temptation. So verse 4 tells us, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Oh, I thank God for his wonderful word that feeds our soul, that nourishes our soul. You know, I know how it is. If we go a time without eating, we get hungry. Our physical being, you know, has hunger. But how about the inner man? How about our spiritual man? Does our spiritual man get hungry if we don't have it fed? If we don't feast on the things of God? If we don't look into His Word? If we don't pray and talk to the Lord? Aren't we going to be starving as far as our spiritual man is concerned? And oh yes, indeed, Jesus said, he was quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, when he said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Praise the Lord. He did not give in to that temptation. Oh, even though, you know, he could have very easily, considering all the things that were going on. But oh yes, the devil wasn't done yet. And it tells us in verse 5, "And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And I think the devil was pretty presumptuous at this point. You know, he assumed that all of that had been given to him, I would say. You know, and here he is, you know, trying to allure Jesus Christ. And the point being that he's trying to get Jesus to worship him. Oh my, I thank God that Jesus was able to withstand this temptation. Praise the Lord. In verse 8 it tells us, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Oh, praise the Lord. And we see how Jesus, oh yes, told the devil to get behind him. Oh yes, no way am I giving into this, old devil. And then he quoted scripture. There from Exodus, I believe, chapter 34. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, having that word of God in our heart is going to help us. We want to put as much of God's word deep into our hearts. Oh, yes, so that we can withstand the temptations of this world, all the cunning of the enemy. And oh, my, so often the word of God is twisted and contorted and changed and altered. And, you know, if we don't know it, how are we going to know that we're being deceived? Oh, it is so important to put the word of God in our hearts. Oh, yes, in this hour when deception is so great and the enemy is lurking about, seeking whom he may devour. And oh, yes, I think at this time, oh, yes, when I believe we're very close to the end. Oh, my, how important it is. Oh, yes, to have our hearts given over to the Lord, to have His Word embedded in our hearts, in our minds, to the best of our abilities. Oh, yes, by the strength of the Lord. So that, oh yes, we can withstand the enemy and know what is right and know what is wrong. Oh yes, to go forward and to believe God, to stand on His word and receive His promises. Amen. So yes, Jesus was able, yes, to withstand that temptation from the devil. Thank God. Then it tells us in verse 9, "And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence." You know, he was really, trying to push things. Wasn't he the old devil? You know, I mean, here he's, you know, trying to send forth confusion, you know, if thou be the Son of God, you know, I just, you know, bringing about doubt, you know, and prove it, you know, sort of thing, you know, if that's who you are, then prove it. But oh my, praise the Lord, Jesus did not fall for the devil's allurement. No, he did not, you know. Oh, yes. And then the devil, besides, you know, just questioning Jesus' authority and his personhood, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. He went on to quote scripture, and this is something, you know. Even the devil knows scripture, but oh, how we have to know it in our hearts so we're not going to be confused at such a moment, because the devil does twist. Oh, he does try to use it in ways that are not right, not proper, and how we need to be discerning, how we need, oh yes, to be in accord with the Spirit of the living God. And the devil went on to say in verse 10, quoting there from Psalms 91, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Oh, how tricky the old devil was at that moment. Oh, yes, quoting beautiful scripture there, as I said, from Psalms 91, verses 11 to 12, I believe. You know, and trying to allure him. Oh, yes, quoting scriptures. Oh, it sounded so nice. But praise the Lord, Jesus was not deceived. Praise the Lord, Jesus answered in verse 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And verse 13 tells us, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." And praise the Lord, you know, Jesus was able to return in power of the Spirit into Galilee. And it tells us in verse 14, "There went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Praise the Lord. Oh, he had overcome. Praise the Lord. And yes, the power of the Lord was mightily upon him. Oh, praise the Lord. It was seen. It was manifest. Praise the Lord. But I'm so glad this example that Jesus has given us, how he overcame, so that we too can, by his strength and by his Spirit, overcome the devil. Amen. I think maybe one of the very hardest things was the battle that Jesus fought in Gethsemane. Just turning to Matthew chapter 26 for a little bit here. You know, I can't imagine, you know, just how difficult that was. And Jesus knew full well what was ahead of him, how he was going to give his life a ransom for his people, and not only just to die that painful, excruciating pain, that death of the cross, but he was going to take the sins of his people upon himself. Oh my, he who knew no sin. Oh yes, he who had been perfect in all his ways and had overcome the devil at every attempt that the devil made. Oh my, here he was. He was going to die the death of the cross and take upon himself our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, so that we might have hope. We might be helped. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, as it tells us in Matthew 26, as I know, it was extremely difficult for Jesus. Oh yes, you know, we know that as he prayed in Gethsemane, it was even that he prayed and he was in anguish. And it tells us in the other gospels that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And oh yes, it was so heavy. It was so difficult. That's another thing I understand. When a person sweats to that extent, that they're close to death. But there he was, praying, oh yes, and saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, oh my. And he'd asked Peter, James, and John to pray with him in this hour of great sorrow and anguish. And oh, their eyes were so heavy that they were overcome with sleep and they could not even watch with him 1 hour. And oh my, Jesus did it not once, but he did it twice. And then he did it a third time. Oh yes, as he cried out. And yes, then they came to get him. And you know, he said in verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Oh, isn't that a marvel? Oh, he could have called those legions of angels to come. Oh, yes, and deliver him. He did not have to die that excruciating death of the cross. He did not have to do it. But, oh, yes, he had come to this world for that very reason. Oh, yes, to give hope to his people. Oh, to make a people his own children, oh, his own sons and daughters. Oh, to fulfill the scriptures. Oh, to make a way that we could be redeemed. Oh, yes, that we could be delivered from our sins, from our past. Oh, so that we could overcome this world. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, Jesus did say in Luke 6, verse 40, that the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You know, if Jesus went through such things, if he allowed himself to be tempted, then how about us? Can we expect that we would never have to bear such things? Oh, that we'd never get to those spots where, oh, we're in anguish, where we're in pain, where we're in suffering. And of course, many times it's things like, you know, other kind of battles, you know, attitudes and emotions and everything else, and people's, you know, words sometimes that, you know, vex our soul and, oh, could cause us to stumble. But oh, I thank the Lord Jesus that he, oh, so graciously was able to go forth, that he overcame the temptations of even of his flesh. Oh, the flesh. And he said in Matthew 26, he said to Peter, James, and John in verse 41 in chapter 26 of Matthew, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh my, how many times have we, you know, thought in our hearts to do a certain thing for the kingdom of God, and maybe we fell flat. Maybe we just couldn't do it. Maybe, you know, we let something hinder us. How many times has that happened? Yes, our flesh is weak. And how we need, oh, as Jesus told us in verse 41, we need to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. As he said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, my. And we know, too, from other words that he spoke in his ministry, that there are times that we need to give over to prayer and fasting. Oh, yes, you know, the disciples could not deliver that son of the man who came to beseech them that, oh, they would pray and deliver his son who was a lunatic. And, oh, my, after Jesus did it, the disciples later asked why they had not been able to deliver that son who was obviously beset with many devils. And Jesus replied that this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Oh my, how we need to die to the flesh and give it over to the Lord. How we need to let the Lord rule and reign in our lives and have His own way in our hearts. How we need. It's so true, you know, that the flesh is weak. The spirit is indeed willing. But oh my, our flesh, it drags us down. It causes us to stumble if we let it. And oh my, so many times we are hindered. But praise the Lord for our example, the Lord Jesus, and how we want that mind that was in Christ to be in us, how we want that enablement, that power to resist the attempts of the devil. Oh yes, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His Spirit. Praise the Lord, how we need that. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to Colossians right now, the 3rd chapter. I think Colossians chapter 3 has a lot to say about overcoming. And it's got some very details that really will help us to know how to win this war, how this war of our flesh while we walk yet this earth. Praise the Lord. So let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Paul is writing to this church at Colossae here, saying in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Oh, praise the Lord. If we've come to that place where we've been risen with Christ. And of course, if we look at that second chapter of Colossians and verse 12, we realized that we're buried with Jesus Christ in baptism, and wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. So praise the Lord, we die to our old man, we die to our sins. And baptism is symbolic of that death to our old man, to the old ways, to our past, all those things that hindered us. It's like we're dying with Christ. But praise the Lord, we come up out of the water, risen with Him. And praise the Lord, I love it when, oh yes, people come forth speaking in other tongues as they are risen with Him, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes upon them. Oh yes, what a beautiful thing. And praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost is for all of God's people. But praise the Lord, yes, baptism availeth much. It's so important to take His name there in the waters of baptism. So here in Colossians 3, verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ," we went down into the water and we rose again as a new creature in Christ. Then, if that has happened in our lives, of course we repented. You know, I don't want to see anybody baptized who hasn't died to their old man, who hasn't repented. And of course, as we walk this earth, there may be things that we didn't realize initially. I feel compelled to say this. I mean, we're going to be learning as we walk this life. And as we walk with Jesus Christ, there's things that may have not occurred to us at the beginning. We come to the Lord as a babe in Christ. And there's certain things that we're not going to get initially at the first. But praise the Lord, there is something called growth, coming to maturity, and certain things are going to occur to us that we had not at the first realized. So praise the Lord, thank the Lord, we can die to the old man. And here it says again in verse 1 here in Colossians 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Now, isn't this, yeah, this is a lot to, you know, right now, to know. I mean, if, you know, our eyes are on this world, and, you know, we're trying to gain the things of this world, power, prestige, fame, I don't know, riches, whatever all allures people, then I don't know, we're not pursuing the thing that we need to pursue. And verse 2 tells us, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Oh yes, we need our attraction to be in heaven, not on the things of this world. This world is going to be burnt up. Everything that is here is going to be shaken. Only the things that are eternal are going to endure. And how we need to set our affection, our loves, our desires on the things that are above, our eternal destination, our eternal home, and not on the things of this earth. I think of that story in Matthew chapter 19. And I'm just going to turn here for a minute, and I'll be coming back, Lord willing, to Colossians. But Matthew chapter 19, there is a story here that, you know, as Jesus walked this earth, there was a young man who came to Jesus. It tells us in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16 says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And oh my, okay, here was a man that, you know, he wanted eternal life. And so he's asking this very important question. What good thing shall I do? And Jesus answered in verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And so this young man asks in verse 18, he saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 20 tells us, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? See, he just knew inside, even though he was trying to keep the commandments to the very best of his ability, that something yet was missing. And it tells us in verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And it tells us in verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Oh my, this was more than he could bear, it seems, at the moment. You know, these were very hard words to his ears to hear at that moment. Yes, he had treasures in heaven. And oh, he wasn't at that point where he could give up those treasures and come and follow Jesus. And I know it was told us Jesus' own words in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19, where Jesus said, part of his Sermon on the Mount, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And that's the point here in verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All such telling words. And as we turn back here to Colossians chapter 3, we can understand what Paul was getting at when he was writing in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And he explains in verse 3, For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And by dead, he meant that, you know, you are dead to the ambitions of the world, the things of this world, the treasures of this world, the attractions, all the things that people usually want to possess or go for, strive for. But oh my, when we turn everything over to the Lord, our treasure is in a different place. And yes, Paul wrote, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord takes us, and oh yes, he puts us in his pavilion, in that secret place of the Most High God, that dwelling place. He comes and makes his abode with us, oh, to lead us, to guide us, to provide for us, to make a way for us. Praise the Lord. Oh, our life becomes hid with Christ in God. And then verse 4 tells us, when Christ, who is our life, see, you know, you turn everything over to him. If you want to overcome, you've got to give it over to Jesus Christ. You've got to give it over to him. When Christ, who is our life, see, he becomes what we're living for. The reason, the purpose of our existence is Jesus Christ, when we've turned it over to him. And so it is. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Oh, he's coming again. Oh, praise the Lord. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, praise the Lord. That wonderful moment. Oh, yes, when that trump of God's, oh, is sounded. Oh, yes, that shout. Oh, yes, as Jesus Christ comes forth. Oh, yes, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And oh, yes, he's going to bring those, oh, the dead in Christ to rise first. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, their bodies rise. But oh, yes, the body in its new form joins that spirit. Oh, yes, that comes back with Jesus Christ. And oh, yes, we're told, again in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Oh, praise the Lord, it's going to happen one of these days. We're going to hear it, you know. Oh, we're good and faithful, and we're walking with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be among those that rule and reign with Jesus Christ. But oh yes, there's some overcoming that must be done before we can do this. And so here in this chapter, we're going to have words that are going to instruct us how to overcome the flesh, the world, the devil, all of that. Verse 5 tells us, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I would say these are works after the flesh, oh, that he's speaking of here. And oh, yes, we don't want any of these characteristics in our life. I believe, you know, fornication, yes, a lot of people live in fornication. Oh, yes, they're living with somebody or even committing sexual acts with somebody who is not their spouse. And of course, adultery is not mentioned right here in this reference, but that's in the same class. Oh yes, all those acts that are done when you are married and with somebody else that is not your spouse. And then it's mentioned uncleanness. And I believe, you know, if you reference Romans, the first chapter, you're going to realize that this uncleanness refers to other lewd deeds of the flesh and even homosexuality. Because yes, Romans, the first chapter, talks about people who are given over to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, who dishonor their own bodies between them. And you know, they were given up by Almighty God because of this. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. How many people give credence to things of this world, the creature, and not giving that credence to the Almighty One to God Almighty, the Creator. And it talks of how God gives him over unto vile affections. In verse 26 of Romans 1, says, "For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men," in verse 27, "leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet," or in other words, appropriate. And it tells us in verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." Oh, how sad this is. You don't want to be given over to a reprobate mind where you can no longer discern what is right and what is wrong. But oh yes, it's talking about a people who have gone against the ways of God to such an extent that God has given them over. It's a rebellion against God's order, His authority, His ways. And we see how this results in being given over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Oh my, all the terrible things. Oh yes, the result because of that. But back here in Colossians chapter 3, yes, it tells us, verse 5 again, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence." And all this is talking about lewd, evil desires. Inordinate affection is talking about affections that are not appropriate, that are forbidden, that are not God's ways. And of course, then it mentions covetousness, which is idolatry. Oh my, we don't want to give our hearts over to such things. And yes, it tells us to mortify such things in one's life. If we've given our hearts to the Lord, these things do not belong in our person. They are to be mortified or destroyed, you know, killed, in other words. And it tells us in verse 6, "For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." You're not going to get by with that. If these things, these lusts are in your heart, the wrath of God will fall upon you, as it tells us in verse 6. And you're considered one of the children of disobedience. And the verse 7 tells us, "And the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them." We all have our past. You know, we weren't so good back then. We all did things that, you know, we wished we wouldn't have done. But oh, we were walking in our sin. We were walking in our lust. We had not given our hearts to the Lord. We were living under those conditions. But oh my, when we become new creatures in Christ, we need to put off all these things, all those old things, all the things of the past, all these things that were, they were sins in our lives, great sins, things we struggled with and even, you know, thought were normal, most likely. But praise the Lord, God would have us to have none of that. As we become new creatures, it tells us in verse 8, "But now ye also put off all these." And oh yes, if this is going to go beyond these works of the flesh that were mentioned earlier in this chapter. Now he's talking about emotions that try to get us as Christians. Oh yes, so now it's time to put off all these emotions, and he names anger and wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Oh my, all these things that need to go. You know, anger, I think we all know what anger is, and wrath is even more so. It's an intense anger, it's a rage, it's a fury, all those kind of things that sometimes are in the hearts. Malice, oh, huh. A desire to harm other people, to see other people to suffer. Again, these are things that need to be crucified, that need to be put off when we come to Christ. It talks about blasphemy. Oh my, that would be anything that's spoken or written or an action that would concern God or anything that's sacred, and doing it in such a way to curse or revile or to speak evil of, you know, to speak irreverently of God, disrespectfully, all those kind of things, blasphemous type of profanity and things that come out of the mouth sometimes. And yeah, filthy communications out of your mouth. That how these traits, these emotions do not belong in the hearts of God's people. And oh yes, they are to be put off. Amen. Verse 9 tells us, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. I mean, some people think, you know, a little white lie isn't going to do much harm. But oh my, here we're being exhorted, lie not one to another. Yes, because you put off the old man with his deeds. That should not be a part of your person as a new creature in Christ. Tells us in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, yes. After the mind of God, after his image, after his example. Oh, we want to put on the new man. We want to follow Christ. And so these other things must go. And yes, we want to renew our minds, our hearts, in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh yes, that great need to follow after him. Oh yes, to receive the engrafted word into our hearts so that it becomes a part of our thinking, a part of our actions, a part of our being. Oh yes, allowing the Spirit of the Lord to change us. And indeed make us a new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord, a new creation. Oh, to be created means to make from nothing. Oh, God took us from our nothingness and made us new creatures in Christ Jesus, his creation, his work. Praise the Lord. Oh, aren't you glad? Oh, I'm so glad. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to live in my old ways. But oh, the Lord made it possible that, oh yes, we could be new creatures in Christ. And so it tells us in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. The body of Christ, your background, your heritage, isn't going to make any difference. Circumcision or uncircumcision isn't going to make a difference if you're a bond man or a free man. It doesn't matter as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. Oh yeah, even if you're an uncivilized, a barbarian, an uncultured person that they considered actually non-Greek or non-Roman was considered a barbarian. Well, it doesn't matter in the kingdom of God, Jew or Greek, you know. It doesn't matter. We all must come to Jesus the same way by surrendering our lives, by giving our lives over to the Lord. And we all must overcome the deeds of the flesh. Oh, the deeds of this world. All the things that tempt us and try to hinder us. Oh, yes, the allurement of the devil. And then this chapter goes on. He has to give us instruction on how our conduct should be in Christ. Verse 12 tells us, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, that expectation that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We would, oh yes, have the mind of Christ, that we put on Christ, you know, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Oh yes, they considered, yes, these characteristics, these tender emotions or feelings to come from the bowels. Back then, in the time when Scripture was written. So we want these emotions, these feelings, these tenderness issues to come forth from our being, from our bowels, as stated here in the Scripture. And oh, yes, such things as bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, praise the Lord, forbearing one another. In other words, holding one another up, sustaining one another, being there to help that person bear their burdens. Oh, yes, being a friend. Oh, yes, having compassion. And yes, forgiving one another. Oh my, we all make mistakes. We all get into trouble sometimes one way or the other. But oh my, how we need to forgive, and we must forgive. Otherwise, Jesus Christ is not going to forgive us. And yes, as our great example, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, praise the Lord. And then verse 14 tells us, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Oh, charity, that love that gives without expecting anything in return. That is what Jesus did for us when he gave his life a ransom for many on the cross. Oh, yes, he was showing us a love so great. Oh, when he was dying on our behalf, in our stead, taking our ugly old horrible sins upon himself. Oh, yes, charity. A love that gives without expecting anything in return, which is the bond of perfectness. And verse 15 tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Praise the Lord, oh, his peace that passes all in understanding, that peace that the world cannot give, it cannot describe. Oh, they talk about peace on earth. They strive for peace on earth, but oh my, it only comes from God. Oh, the man-made peace just does not cut it. Oh, praise the Lord, there is a peace that comes from God. Oh, yes, and we are to let his peace rule in our hearts. Oh, to the which also ye are called in one body. Praise the Lord, one body. And be thankful. Oh, yes, that spirit of being thankful. So many times I think people are hindered by, you know, a spirit that, you know, all they can do is think about all the trouble and all the agitations and all the imperfections and, you know, all the emotions that, you know, are not right. And, you know, not thanking God, oh, for the little things that he has done for us, the showers of blessings, the good things, all the things that were averted by Almighty God, his love for us, you know, his angels that take charge of us, oh, the things that could have happened that never did, and the good things that he has given us, oh, that need to be thankful. Praise the Lord. I think about that leper. That Samaritan leper, oh yes, there were 10 of them, and we know the story. There was only one who came back and returned to give thanks, to worship Jesus Christ. Of course, he was made whole. Jesus asked, where are the other 10? Or where are the other 9? In other words, where are they? Why didn't they come? Why did this one come? And here he was. He was a stranger. He was a Samaritan. But oh my, great things happen when we have the right spirit and attitude, when we're thankful. And, you know, we look beyond all the negatives and all the imperfections and all the things that we think should be and all the, you know, the confusion, all of those things that clobber us at times. But oh, how important, how good it is to be thankful. And it tells us in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Oh, we've been talking about that, the need to have his word embedded in our hearts richly in all wisdom. Oh, we want it to be a part of our thinking, a great part of our thinking. Oh, well, that's how we want to think, the way God thinks. Oh, amen. How can we think the way he thinks unless we have his word in our heart? And then it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, I love to worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love those old hymns, oh, that have a message in themselves. Oh, yes, I love the psalms. Oh, they teach us so much and have so much richness in them. And those spiritual songs, they come from the heart. Oh, yes, of God's people who have been changed, who have been converted, who have been brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. We want them to dwell within, to be a part of our makeup. Oh, yes, a thing that comes out of our being. Yeah, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, when we worship the Lord, great things happen. Oh, my, you might be surprised. You just sing with all your being. You worship the Lord. Oh, you let the words, you know, be a part of your thinking. Oh, praise the Lord. And God rises. He rises within. Oh, yes, to work in us mightily. Praise the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, it becomes his song. Praise the Lord. The song that he puts within, it becomes his song. Verse 17 tells us, and whatsoever ye do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Our whole life needs to be hid in Christ. Everything we do should be for the cause of Christ one way or the other. Our words, our deeds should all be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Oh, praise the Lord. And of course, you know, this includes baptism. Oh, we don't want to ignore his name when we go down in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're commanded here. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then he goes on with some more advice on how to conduct our lives, how to overcome, how to live in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Verse 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 19 says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Then verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then, yes, it tells us in verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And 22 states, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. See, all our activities, all our actions, all our words need to be done in the sight of God, to be with the, you know, knowledge that we fear God. And, you know, if we're servants and, you know, if we have a job and we have certain duties to carry out, then are we not servants in that way? And of course, I know there are certain things, if it opposes the will of God, that we could not do. But otherwise, as far as simple duties go and carrying out certain things like that, we are to obey in all things our masters according to the flesh. And it says, not with eye service, you know, not with a pretense, you know, not just to do it, you know, with a fake smile on our face, just, you know, to try to please man. Yeah, okay. I do this to, you know, merit my paycheck. But no, we're to do everything unto God, but in singleness of heart. Oh yes, without any other motives, any other thinking, without any hypocrisy, singleness of heart, true sincerity, fearing God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes. Oh, he becomes, oh yes, the center of our lives, the reason that we live and move and have our being, the reason we are on this earth is to give service to our God. Amen. Verse 23 tells us, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." See, this is what this is all about. Oh, in order to overcome, we've got to have an attitude that pleases the Lord. And yes, all these things. I mean, yes, we have some earthly chores that we have to do. You know, we just plain have to do some of these things. But oh, we are to do it unto the Lord. And we are to do it, as it instructs in verse 23, heartily, with our being. Yeah. Willingly, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Christ, it says here. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's all because of him. It's because of what he did for us. You know, and that's why, yes, we go forth to try to be a light in this world, to be an example. And yes, because we are, yeah, we need to overcome, you know, all these things that, you know, we're a part of our old man, our old being, and, you know, try to rise within us. You know, we don't want any of those characteristics that were mentioned to be a part of our being, any of those negative emotions. And if they try to sneak in, oh, Lord, help us to learn how to detect such and to put them down. Oh, yes, and oh, yes, to let the Lord, his love, his kindness, his meekness, that long-suffering of Jesus Christ, that ability to forbear one another and to forgive one another. We want those things to be within us. Amen. Because, yes, as it tells us again in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And then verse 25 tells us, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Well, I'll tell you what, this is something to give heed to, isn't it? Oh my, because it tells us very clearly, the righteous judge who knows and sees it all, knows the very thoughts, the motives of our hearts, the intents and everything else. Oh my, we want to be right with God, don't we? Oh yes, if we can, oh yes, overcome. Oh, we're going to receive the reward of the inheritance. But, oh my, to give heed. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Oh, you know, in God's sight, again, you know, as we read, it's not going to matter if you're a Jew or if you're a Greek. You know, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, if you're a barbarian, a Scythian, if you're bond or if you're free. None of those things are going to matter. It's, how's your heart? You know, are you right with God? Did you overcome this world? Well, that is what is going to matter on that day when we stand before the judge of this earth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But oh my, the rewards, the compensation is so great for them that overcome. Let's go to the book of Revelation for a moment. Let's read a few verses here. Book of Revelation has a lot to say about overcoming. It tells us in Revelation 3, verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, am set down with my Father in his throne. Oh, praise the Lord. Just a little indicator. And scripture talks about, that we'll judge, in some capacity at that point. But, here we're told, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. See, Jesus, overcame the devil, the world, the flesh. He overcame every aspect. And therefore, yes, he sent back his spirit so that we too can overcome. Oh, praise the Lord, our great example, Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, the fact that he has made a way. He has made a way for us. We look at Revelation 12. Looking at verse 10 and 11. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And praise the Lord, there are great things that happened at Calvary as Satan was cast down from heaven. Amen. And so, yes, came forth that ability to find Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Oh, praise the Lord. If we go to Revelation 21, it tells us, verse 11. Oh, just a minute. That is quite right. It tells us, Revelation 21, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, how we want to overcome. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, praise the Lord. He has made us joint heirs with Christ, and how beautiful that is. Oh, praise the Lord. One more scripture as I close here tonight. Praise the Lord. John, the 16th chapter, verse 33. Jesus said in verse 33, John, chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, that perfect example. Oh, yes, who laid down his life for his children. Oh, his sons and his daughters. Oh, his seed that would come forth. Oh, yes, because he overcame, we too can be of good cheer. Praise the Lord, because he overcame the world. We too, through the enablement of his spirit, also overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. I pray that you'd pour out of your spirit, Lord, that you'd give us that overcoming strength to prevail, oh God, to walk before you, Lord, to be judged righteous, God, oh Lord, to be right in thy sight, to be overcomers, Lord. Give us that strength, oh Lord, perfect us, God. Oh, give us that bond of charity. Help us, Lord, oh God, to have those characteristics, Oh, Lord, that we're a part of your life and your example. Oh, help us, Lord, here tonight. Oh, God, we beseech you, Lord, work in us and change us. Make us what we ought to be in Jesus. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Jesus. Let's see what we can say here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, because he lives, praise the Lord. Oh, his things, the things that he makes possible, because he has been that example for us. Oh, yes, because he overcame. We too can overcome the world. Let's turn to Chorus 98. Praise the Lord because he lives. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.